With a message from God's Word, here's Charles Stanley.
One of the most often quoted passages of Scripture in the Bible is one that all of us probably have known a long, long time. I learned it when I was a kid in school. My regular school teacher taught me to be able to memorize this Scripture when I was in about the second or third grade. Don't you wish school teachers would do that today? But I want you to think about it, because you quote this verse when you are in want. I shall not want. When you're afraid, I will fear no evil. When you're tired and weary, resting in the gardens or whatever it might be, whatever the issue is, somehow that passage of Scripture just seems to include it all. It's also quoted oftentimes by the bedside of somebody who's dying. Also, before a bereaved family at the graveside. And many times on a battlefield in the midst of fire. There's something about this passage of Scripture that just applies to every situation and circumstance. And when I think about it in this light. God has given us something to remind us in a very few verses how awesome His love is for us. His desire to protect us and watch over us and care for us. So I want you to turn to the 23rd Psalm. And let's read this Psalm. And what I want us to look at primarily is verse number 4. While we talk about all of it, it's this fourth verse I want us to look at. Because I want to talk about the believer's valley experience. The times you and I go through those valleys in our life. And so he begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." And this is where I always want to go back to the King James Version. Because somehow when you say, "I fear no evil for You are with me," there's something about saying, "I fear no evil for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So what is the believer's valley experience? It is an experience that all of us experience many times in our life. And remember this. You can't have mountains without valleys. So if you have mountains, you've got valleys. And if there is a valley experience, there is a mountain peak experience. Most people don't know how to operate in the valley. Or they don't understand why God allows valley experiences in our life. And so I want us to look at this passage in the light of that. Times when you and I go through difficulty and hardship and pain and suffering, things we don't understand sometimes. Things oftentimes we do understand, but don't know why God would allow it to happen in our life. And so once I begin to understand what God is up to, my attitude can change. Where there's hopelessness, there can be hope and confidence and assurance that I'm not going to be in this valley forever. Now, if you'll think about it for just a moment, if the valley experience is that time in your life when you're hurting, when you're suffering, when there's pain, there's heartache, there's loss, there's separation, there's loneliness, then how do you deal with that? And that's what I want us to talk about in this passage of Scripture. And I want us to think, first of all, the fact that these experiences are inevitable in everybody's life. There's no such thing as living on the mountain peak all the time, where there's success and happiness and joy and prosperity, all the rest. There are those times when we find ourselves in the valley. Those places of difficulty and hardship. And notice the contrast here. He says, he speaks of green pastures, still waters, the valley of the shadow of death, righteous paths. So we're talking about those periods of time. They can be short, they can be long. But times when we are suffering, when we are hurting, understood or misunderstood, the pain is still there. And so when I think about that, and I think about how people get into these valleys. Well, surprisingly, sometimes the Good Shepherd leads us there. Notice he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me. Listen, he guides me. He leads me. And so, that being the case, sometimes the good shepherd leads us into those valley experiences where we hurt, where there's pain, where there's suffering. You say, now, wait a minute. If he's a good shepherd, and that's what Jesus said about himself. He said he's the good shepherd. In the 10th chapter of John, he talks about being a shepherd who secures us. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. So here is the good shepherd, and that's all it sounds like, love and kindness and peace and joy and so forth. But that's not the only place the shepherd leads us. Now think about this. The mountain peak here, something good is going on in our life. And there's a mountain peak over here, and God leads us through this valley. There must be a reason to come off of this mountain into this valley for the next mountain. Because you see, he sees us here, and he's not satisfied us being here. And so what does he do? He takes us in the valley to get us ready for the next mountain peak. Into the valley to get us ready for the next mountain peak. And oftentimes we lose it because we don't respond correctly when we get in the valley. We don't understand what's going on. But what I want you to see is this. Every time we go through some difficulty, hardship, pain, or suffering in our life, doesn't mean it's all the devil. Because God has a higher purpose in our mind than simply just to keep us happy. And if you'll think about it for a moment, times that you've had difficulty and hardship, suffering, not your fault necessarily, but sometimes it was yours, but there you were. Could it be that the shepherd knows that he has something better for you here than you can see here? And oftentimes we're willing to be satisfied here. And I was taking a friend of mine up to the Georgia mountains, and all of you folks who live west of the Mississippi will understand this. And I said to my friend, I said, now, when you see the Georgia mountains, you're going to still be asking, where are they? Because they're like molehills compared to what we've seen out west, whether it's in all those 14,000-foot mountains in Colorado and Mount McKinley and so forth in Alaska. And when you see them, people who live in Georgia, no reflection on Georgia, and they love the Georgia mountains, if they've never seen what's on the other side, they'll sort of be satisfied. Once you get a glimpse of something that's over 20,000 feet high. In fact, there are more 14,000-foot mountains in Colorado than any other state in the Union. And it's awesome when you get in the midst of those mountains and see the grandeur and the majesty of it all. Because you see, when you're high up on the mountain, you can see what you can't see in the valley. Now, that's good and bad. Because you see, if you could see in the valley what you could see on the mountain peak, the valley wouldn't be nearly as painful, nearly as difficult to be wandering around in. So what I want you to see is that sometime we're in the valley not because of something we've done or something somebody else has done, but simply because the Father, the Shepherd, has something good in mind for us. Now, there are other reasons. For example, you can wander away. Remember he said, he is the good shepherd. That puts us in the category of being a sheep. Now, sheep by their very nature wander. And you recall in that very familiar passage in Luke chapter 15 of the parables, and the first one deals with the lost sheep. And Jesus said, the good shepherd will leave all 99 over here, and he'll go seeking after the one lost sheep. And the truth is that our Heavenly Father cares enough about all of us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world, the good shepherd, to save us, to bring us unto himself, and to keep us. But sometimes we wander. A person can wander from the Lord for different reasons. Anytime you and I take a step away from him, we are wandering and we are heading for the valley. We are heading for it because we choose, somehow in our thinking, in our viewpoint of things, there's something better over here, away from the Lord, than there is with him. And that's our erroneous thinking, our poor vision, the deception of the devil that would say to you, oh, the good shepherd has this, but there's something more exciting, more alluring, more satisfying over here. It's the devil's lie. And yet, that's exactly why some people find themselves in the valley. They don't like what they find there. At first, they may like it, but they realize all of a sudden something's not right because valley living is not the plan of God for his children. It's the plan of the devil for his followers, But it's not the plan of God for His children. He has the best for us, all of us, no matter who He is. And I'm grateful that He talked about being the Good Shepherd. He has predestined every single one of us to go through valleys, but not to hang around there. And you notice He said, even though I walk through the valley, not walk around in it, even though I walk through the valley. It's not a destination. It is a passageway. And remember this again. No matter what's going on this mountain peak here, if God leads you into this valley, He has something better and higher and nobler for your life than floundering around in the valley. So there are reasons that we find ourselves there. And I love what He says when He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I've been through some valleys that I wanted to run and not walk. I wanted to get out as fast as I possibly could. And I think that's just natural and normal that when we get in things where there's pain and hurt and sorrow and loss or whatever it might be, we want to get out of it as fast as possible. So we'd like to pray. We want God to answer our prayer yesterday, get us out of this. And if you'll get me out of this, God, here's what I'll do. And somehow He doesn't seem to answer that. And so the valley experience is just that. It is an experience allowed by God, and it is an experience that God may guide us into and through, but never to flounder around inside of it. So, as I think about valley experiences in my own life, some have been short, some of them have been long, but I can say for sure that each time, God always had something better in mind. Now, I think the first time it ever dawned on me, I had a bad case of sinus. For about 2 weeks, I prayed, and I took everything the doctor said take, and nothing helped. And I remember lying there. I remember exactly where I was, because I was a pastor in Bartow, Florida then. And I remember lying there thinking, God, what's wrong? What's going on? I was complaining and moaning and groaning. The doctor didn't know what he was doing. The medicine wasn't working. And I wasn't getting enough self-pity, I guess, whatever it might be. And I remember lying there. It's like the Lord said to me, I want you to listen to me. It took me a little over 2 weeks of moaning and groaning and complaining before the Lord could say to me what He wanted me to hear. As soon as I recognized that God laid me out, allowed me to be laid out, in order to say something to me, immediately the next day I start getting better. And next day. But you see, think about this. Think about how fast you run in any given day, any given week. Look at your calendar. You're listening to this and talking to this person and telephones and iPhones and iPads and computers, and our mind is so full of this and all these relationships and all the things we have to do. When does God have any time anyway? And sometimes He has to stop us. Sometimes He just has to take us off the mountaintop into the valley in order for us to hear something that's very significant for us to hear. Now, that was nothing compared to the valleys that some people are in. And I think about one of the most important employees we have, and I don't think about them as employees, as servants of God at In Touch. It's a woman who's been with us for 27 years. Here's what she does. She edits all the messages. She listens to every single word. She'll correct something if it needs to be corrected. And so for 27 years, she's done that. So she knows how I think. She knows all about it. She's had 12 operations on one eye. When I think about being sick, and I think about people who are in valleys so intense as that, I think most of us don't know what those kind of valleys are like. And so, did she give up? Did she quit? I've never heard her moaning and groaning and complaining, but always of what God is doing next. And God knows exactly what it takes to create within us the person He wants us to be. And remember this, whatever His goals are, and they can be a number that we'll talk about. One of them is He has something in mind for us. Now listen, every time you get in the valley doesn't mean that you're being punished. It doesn't mean that you're being disciplined. Because there are times when God has something in mind for us. We can't see it over here. We can't hear Him at that point. And He has to bring us to a point where we begin to listen, where He clears our vision so we can begin to see. And I think many times God has something better for us, that because we're sort of satisfied over here, we'll never enjoy it because we're just too satisfied where we are. And so what He does is He says, all right, I'm going to clear your vision. I'm going to remove everything that's hindering you from seeing and hearing what I want you to see and to hear. So when we think about these valleys, we think about them as those periods of time in our life, these painful periods of time, difficult periods of time that we either choose to wander into or our Heavenly Father Himself will lead us to. And so when I think about that, I think also about these periods. Sometimes they're long, sometimes they're short. Usually when we're in one of these valleys, to us it's very long. And the length oftentimes by our determination depends upon how painful it is. We think it's very painful. It's very long. When in time it may not be all that long, but the pain intensifies it. Likewise, it may be because of why we're there, for example. And it throws us off balance. That is, going through suffering throws us off balance. Whether it's loss of somebody we love, or whether it's loneliness, or whether it's the loss of something we cherish, or whether it's a loss of a position. In other words, something you've worked for, something you've dreamed about, something you've really put your heart into, and all of a sudden, you lose it. So what is your response? And many times people will say, I don't know why God did this to me. And it's not so much that He did it to you, because if you'll notice as we go along, it's something He does for us. Sometimes it hurts very deeply. It can fill you with alarm oftentimes if it's sudden. But there are valleys that all of us face in life. Now, but what about the depth of it? How deep into this valley? And that depends upon why God is leading us there. Because one thing He certainly wants to clear up, He wants to clear up our thinking so we begin to think the way He thinks. He wants us to see things from the way He sees them. And oftentimes when everything is going our way, we can't see it. We can't hear Him for being so satisfied where we are. And so the depth of the valley will determine what God is able to accomplish in our life. So think for just a moment. What is the deepest valley you have ever walked through? I mean, where you had the most pain, where you suffered the most, where you had the most misunderstanding, you found yourself caught, trapped, no way out. It just looked like it was one long, endless valley for you. Do you remember when that was? What was going on in your life at that time? What did you do to try to get out? Now He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not run, but walk. That is, God is saying something to us much deeper here than I think we realize. We're going through valleys. We're going to suffer. We're going to hurt. I remember when my mother passed away, I thought that was the deepest valley I'd ever experienced. Only a few months later to experience one far deeper to me than that. Now watch this. You and I cannot determine how deep somebody else's valley is, because we don't know where they're coming from in life necessarily. And so when other people are suffering and hurting about things in their life and they tell us what it is, we may think, oh, well, that's nothing. Let me tell you what I've been through. I've learned a long time ago when somebody tells me what they're hurting about, the thing you don't want to say is, well, let me tell you about mine. They're not interested in yours at that point. It's a time to listen and not to compare valleys. We don't know how someone else is hurting. We don't know how deep their hurt is. We don't know how deep the pain is. We don't know how deeply this has gouged into their very personhood, their very being. When a husband or a wife walks away from one another, no warning. And listen, it isn't like some pain that comes on gradually. It's pain that shatters a person's emotions. And all of a sudden, they got dumped into the valley. They didn't choose to be there. It was something someone else did to them. Was it the will of the Father, the Good Shepherd? No. Did He allow it to happen? Yes. How's He going to respond in this? Remember this. On the bottom of the valley, top of the mountain, He's still the same Good Shepherd. Nothing changes who He is or His relationship to us. Now, how we respond can make a difference, and we'll come to that. But what I want you to see is this, that these valley experiences in our life, the length, the depth, He determines that. And more than likely, the depth of it depends upon how we respond. That is, if a little bit of pain and a little bit of suffering can open my eyes and help me to see and help me to hear, that's all it'll take. But if I'm stubborn and self-willed and don't understand and respond the wrong way, then the depth of that valley and the length of that valley can increase and increase and increase. So when a person gets in a tough situation and they're complaining and moaning and groaning and blaming God, I know what's going to happen. All they're doing is lengthening their trip, lengthening their voyage through the valley. Does that mean that if you repent and get straightened out right quick, that you're going to be up on the mountaintop next? No. God knows our thoughts. He knows our ways. He knows our habits. And he knows we can be very deceived and we can be very deceptive. It's the length and the depth that God is moving and molding and making something of us that oftentimes we're not even aware of what he's doing. Most of the time when people in the valley, they don't even consider God. They look around to see, why has this happened to me? And oftentimes it may be something that they did, or it may be something somebody else did, or it may be something that God is engineering, but always for their good. Now, remember this. He's not interested in ease, comfort, and pleasure. He can provide that. What he's interested in is relationship, intimacy. What will it take to get me into an intimate relationship with him? What will it take to get my eyes open? What will it take for him to change and remove my love of things to my relationship to him? What will it take? Whatever it takes, he's there, and he is at work in our life for something good. So our valleys are under the watch care of the shepherd, and because I know that's true, I can at least have some sense of confidence. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, in the Hebrew world, when they talked about God, they thought of God as being their God, the nation of Israel. But David brought it down to where you and I live. The Lord is my shepherd. I know he's every believer's shepherd, but when I'm in the valley, I want to know he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd on the mountaintop. He's my shepherd in the valley. Listen, once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you always have the good shepherd because he doesn't change. And you see, here's what happens. When you trust that Christ is your Savior, he came, he says, I'm abiding in you, living in you. You and I have the good shepherd living within us, guiding us, directing us, helping us, comforting us, strengthening us, protecting us. We have him. So it doesn't make any difference whether I'm on the mountain peak or in the valley. The good shepherd is always the same, and he's always there. So wherever you may be at this very moment, do you sense his presence? Or do you think that God's up yonder somewhere? Do you feel like that he's distant? Listen, if you feel he's distant, then you have misconceived who he is in your life. And one of the things that he may be up to in your life is helping you to understand who he is. Because he wants us to see him as he is, our good shepherd. Now, John chapter 10, as we said, he said, I'm the good shepherd and we're the sheep. And he's promised to protect us and provide for us. Does he always do that? Yes, he does, because he never changes. So I think about some people who get in the valley and how they respond and how they react. When a bad situation hits them, they panic. Or they grow bitter and resentful and hostile, angry. Where is God at this time? You said God answered my prayer. Why hasn't he answered my prayer? Why is God so silent when I'm hurting so deeply? So they get disillusioned and they get hopeless. And you see, if I'm not seeing the way God wants me to see, I can look at a valley as an endless tunnel. And out yonder somewhere there may be, but I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. When a person who is a believer gets in that kind of a situation, God is trying to show them something. And as long as I see the valley as a tunnel and it's endless, then I will lose hope. One of the reasons that people commit suicide is because they lose hope that there is an end to this valley, an end to this pain, an end to this loneliness, an end to this hopelessness. And what happens? They check out. Now, the question always comes, and the question we get oftentimes in our emails is this: can a person commit suicide and still go to heaven? Well, let me answer this carefully. Because if you happen to be one of those persons in a valley that seems to be a tunnel to you, and you don't see any way out, and you've been contemplating ending it all, let me say that is not what you want to do. You say, well, I know that I'm a believer. I just can't handle this. And it just appears to me that it's like a tunnel and I don't see God anywhere and I can't handle it. I'm checking out. Would that person be lost? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. And the saved have eternal life. Not temporary life, not eternal life if, not eternal life but, not eternal life when, but eternal life. A person who has trusted Christ as Savior is eternally secure. But what you do is you lose your reward. How much of that reward? Only God knows that. Listen, you do not want to commit suicide for the sake. Listen, no matter how you see your life today as a tunnel, it's not a tunnel. It's a valley. And no matter why you are there, as a child of God, you are there with the Good Shepherd. You may not feel him, you may not sense him, you may not see him, you're not aware of him. He's there. I'll tell you why. Because he can't leave you. He'd have to change his whole attitude and change what he said in order to leave you. You may be in the valley and feel very hopeless. There is hope because, listen, the Good Shepherd, who is the sovereign of this universe, is with you in the valley, ready to help you, willing to help you, has the power to help you, and is motivated by his unconditional love to help you right now, no matter where you are. You simply need to turn to him. It just may be that God has allowed you, not sent you there, allowed you to get to this hopeless situation so that you will depend upon him, you will turn to him, and listen, he'll take you out of the valley and onto mountain peaks. One of these days you'll look back and think, oh, thank you, God, you didn't leave me there. And thank you, God, you didn't let me do what I wanted to do. You'll never be able to thank him enough. That's who he is. He's this awesome Lord. Now, listen carefully. Why do we respond in such a negative way when we get in the valley? I want to give you four reasons. Listen to them carefully. The first one is this: because we don't have a solid belief system. And I mean by that, what you believe about God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole spiritual world, what you believe about that, well, I believe a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And you'd be surprised how many people, that's their theology. Well, I believe this part of this, and I believe that part of that, and I believe what he said and what she said and what they do. And so they don't have a theology. Now you say, well, this theology is over my head. No, it's not. Here's what it's all about. It's about your belief in God and what he says in his word. Is it clear in your mind who he is? Do you have an understanding of who God is and his ways in your life? If you don't understand who he is, when you get in the valley, you're going to panic. Or you're going to alcohol, sex, or drugs, or whatever it might be. You see, if you don't have a clear understanding of what you believe, you're already in trouble. And you're going to make a mistake. That's one reason. A second reason is this: that we don't understand the ways of God. That is, God has certain ways he operates. He operates by principle. And his principles are in the Word. You can't come up with any kind of valley experience for which there's not an answer in the Word of God. And so if I don't have a clear understanding of what I believe about God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and all the rest, if I'm not clear about that, then I'm not going to be clear about how God operates. There was, for some people, for God to allow a person who's one of his followers to suffer for anything is totally unreasonable in their eyes. Then you must have sinned against God. You must not have faith. Something must be wrong. All suffering is not the result of sin. But the way some people preach it, it is. If you are trusting God and you believe in God and you're obeying God, you're not going to get sick and you're always going to have plenty. You don't find it in the Word of God. It's not there. Because all you have to do is look at the scripture, how God, just take the Apostle Paul, for example. Look at all the pain and the suffering. In other words, God saved him on the Damascus Road, called him to propagate the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wasn't living in sin when he was in one jail after the other. He wasn't living in sin when they tried to stone him to death in the streets of Lystra. He wasn't living in sin where everywhere he went, they were trying to kill him and trying to assassinate him. He was walking through one valley after the other. But listen, thank God for every valley the Apostle Paul walked through, because I get blessed every time I turn to the epistles where he was suffering and hurting and going through all kind of difficulty for you and me, and he didn't even know it. So when we think about the absence of a clear understanding of Scripture, don't understand the ways of God, and that, number three, our faith is based on emotion. Well, I can trust him as long as everything's going my way. No. That is, my faith must be based on the Word of God, not on my emotions. What does the Bible say? What is the clear teaching of Scripture? And then, of course, another reason is this. We don't know his promises. Look at the promises in the Word of God. We don't know his promises. And so when I get in the valley, if I don't understand who he is, and if I don't understand his ways, I'm going by my emotions rather than the truth, then I'm going to be in trouble. And so people get in the valley, and instead of growing in the valley and learning in the valley, they find themselves hopeless, helpless, growing bitter, and growing further and further away from God. Now, the third thing I want to say here is simply this. These valley experiences are the most profitable times of learning for the child of God. And so when I think about that, I think about, why are these so profitable? It's because of what goes on in the valley. And there are many things that go on in the valley. But God allows us and leads us into these valleys for a number of reasons. What is it we learn? We said we learn far more in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. Because think about this. What have you learned when everything was going your way? You had plenty. You had a fine home. You had a fine automobile. Your kids were this, that, and the other. You had plenty of money. Everything's happy. You had a house here. And everything was going your way. How much did you learn spiritually? You said, well, I learned how good God is. Is that right? I don't think so. I think you took it for granted probably most of the time. But when did you learn a lesson that you said, yes, I can trust him through these things? It's in the valleys that we learn the most. So you say, learn the most about what? So let's start with him. We learn the most about God in the valley. Notice what he said in this passage. He said that we will rest in green pastures. We will drink from still waters. We don't have to fear anything. We walk through these valleys because of his provision. Notice what he said, his rod and his staff comfort us. Well, what was the rod? The rod was a big stick that he'd fight off wolves or any kind of beast. And he says the rod and the staff had that crook in it. He'd reach out and pull the sheep back in line. Now, I want to say this very clearly. He had a rod and a staff. You have one too. It's called the Word of God. It's rod and staff in one book. Everything I need to know about him, here it is. It's the truth. It's the truth of God's Word. It is a protection in times of danger. It is my help in time of need. It's my comfort when things are going tough on me. You can go right down the line of every single experience that you and I have in life, and somewhere in the Word of God, somewhere in here, there's going to be an answer. It's our help. It's our guide. Listen, the Good Shepherd is in heaven, seated at the Father's right hand. The Good Shepherd is also within us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we have everything we need to get us through the valley if we will take the rod and the staff and use it properly. Where I learn the most about God is not on the mountain peak, but in the valley. Because here's what happens. In the valley, God is doing something. And one of the things he's doing is he wants us to get a clearer picture of him. if my mind and my life is so full of things and people and this and that and all that's going on, he can get lost in all that. In the valley when I'm hurting, when there's pain and when I'm lonely, here's what happens. When I feel loneliness, what am I going to do? I'm going to turn to him. When what I had's gone, I'm going to turn to him. And when my friends have left me, I'm going to turn to him. And when I'm sick and the doctor can't help me, I'm going to turn to him. You see, I learn a lot about God. I learn about his presence in my pain. I learn about his love in my loss. I learn about his patience with me when I've complained. I learn about his gentleness when I'm giving him a difficult time. I learn a lot about God when I'm in the valley, because you see, when I'm in the valley, I can't control it. He's in control. And I learn about how willing he is to lead me, how willing he is to forgive me, how gracious he is in putting up with me when I'm in the valley. So listen, if the valley is the place I learn the most about him, then how many of us would vote to say, put me in the valley? I don't believe there's a taker in this whole place. We don't like being there. That's not the issue. The issue is, what am I learning there? I'm learning about his protection and about his provision and about his love and his kindness. I'm learning his ways, how he operates, how he attends to my needs and my desires, and how he ignores my complaining. We learn something about God. We learn the most about God in the valley. Because listen, I remember exactly where I was. I was in my study one day, stretched out on the floor where I lived at that time. And I was thinking about my mother. She was in a nursing home at that time and she was dying. I knew that any day she'd die. I remember lying there thinking, God, how do I handle this? What's going on? Why would you let my mother on Easter Sunday fall down the steps when she was going to go to church? I don't get it. Why did you let my mother fall down the steps? Then why did you let her have one little stroke after the other? Why would you allow her to go to the hospital and me go see her until I'll see her the next morning? The next morning I go to see her and she can't speak. And never spoke another word till she died. What is this all about? And I remember exactly what God said to me. The purifying work of pain. Now, my first response as a preacher was, what a fantastic sermon title. It took me about 2 seconds to get over that and to realize God was saying something to me. That while my mother, who was unconscious and was not hurting at that point, but I was, and what he was doing was not for my mother. She wasn't even in the valley. She was unconscious. But I was in the valley. And he was purifying something within me. The purifying work of pain. I learned something about the valley. It can be painful, totally beyond anything we can do. But if he's doing something good within us, it's worth the trip. But I have to be willing to respond right and recognize that he has a purpose for it all. And sometimes that purpose can be the strippers of our pride. Sometimes it can be a refining process. It's maybe something's not bad, but he wants it to be better. It could be that he's sifting our life and sifting the things that are important that are not important in life, and showing us for the first time what really is important. It could be that he's renewing something in us that needs to be renewed. You see, God always has a purpose. And if I am willing to acknowledge that he has a purpose, then my journey through the valley is not a waste. It isn't all just pain. Because you see, pain does purify us. And what happens with pain is a lot of things that we thought were important are no longer important. I remember one of my friends, who's been a dear friend of mine for a long time, and he said, when I got off the phone and they told me that I had lymphoma, everything else in my life became non-existent. I didn't think about money. I didn't think about business. I didn't think about anything but God. He knows exactly how to get our attention. And remember this, that whatever valley you're in, God's up to something. And that's why it's so important that you and I profit from it. Now, if I complain and moan and groan and argue with God, curse God, blame Him, then I can walk through the valley and end up bitter, resentful, hostile, angry, and having lost a wonderful opportunity in life. Because I remember when I knew that my mother was dying, it's amazing what didn't matter anymore. And more than likely, if you're in a valley today, you could look around and say, you know what? There's some things in my life that don't matter anymore. But you see, if I'm willing to respond in the right way, something awesome can happen. So you say, well, what's the right way? I want to give you four suggestions, and if you'll just jot them down, this is the right way to respond. And remember, He's leading us from one mountain peak into the valley to another mountain peak. That is, God wants to grow us through the last day of our life. So what is my right response? Right response, number one, surrender your life to God. Lord, I've held back on these things. I've given you this and I've given you that, but Lord, today I'm making a full surrender. The only thing that matters is that God, you have your way in my life. When you do that, you're going to turn that valley experience into an awesome stepping stone to a mountaintop. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, and that is to believe that this valley experience, God is going to use it for something good. No matter what it is and how painful, what you may have lost. Listen to what he says. My God causes all things to work together for good. Mountain peaks and valleys, hardship and pain, suffering and joy. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, to those who respond correctly and acknowledge, listen, at no time does the good shepherd have anything in mind for you but the best. And the reason he's not going to leave you on this little peak over here is because he has something fantastic in mind over here. And to get you from this little molehill to this mountain peak of beauty, snow-capped mountains, blazing with color in the fall. In other words, long vistas, being able to see for 100 miles. Why do you want to live down here in a little molehill when you can be there? God doesn't want you down here when he can place you up here. And he can give you a vision for what he can do in your life. He can open your eyes to see opportunities for you that you've never seen before. You're living down here all closed in. He wants you up here where you can see the possibilities for your life from his perspective. You see, if you and I could see what he sees, we'd say, God, send me to the valley. Send me to the valley. If I can see what you see, if I can experience those things in life, if you can use me in that fashion, if you can work in my life in that way, send me to the valley. I must surrender my life to him. I must believe that he's working something good in my life. And the third thing is this. I must rest in his wisdom, his love, and his power. God, I'm laying it all before you. I'm laying my life before you, and I'm going to trust you for your love and your wisdom and your power to see me through this, to accomplish your purpose, no matter what that is. And then the fourth thing is simply this. I got to thank him for it. I have to be willing to thank him. Father, thank you for bringing me through this valley. Now, sometimes I'd like to be real personal, and sometimes I hesitate a little bit. But I can just tell you this. The worst valley I've ever walked through, I've walked through it a long time. I wouldn't wish that valley on anybody. But I can tell you this. Nor would I take anything but the lessons that I have learned and am still learning. I wouldn't take anything for the way God has worked in me personally. What he's cleansed me of and the joy he's given to my heart that I would never have believed in the midst of the valley when it was the most painful, I would never be able to see. And when I see how God works in our life and what he's willing and able to do, I realize that valleys make us more useful for God. Then we have to ask the question, God, who's running this life anyway? If he's running it, he's guiding you. He is the good shepherd. He just graciously lets the pain and the suffering and the heartache and whatever is necessary cover us till we finally say, God, okay. But I would just say this to you. Whatever valley you're in, if you respond right, you will never, never, never regret it. It may be a valley you can't change. It may be a valley that you think, God, was this not a waste? God, isn't there some better way to do this? Remember this. He's all wise, we are not. When he allows a valley into our life, it's because in his love and his wisdom and his power, he knows it's the best way for him to accomplish his purpose. And you see, most of the time we're so self-centered, we're always thinking about, how is it going to affect us? Sometimes that's not the issue. It's not how it's always going to affect us, but how is it going to affect other people whose life, your life, may impact. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Leads me, guides me, keeps me, protects me, provides for me. On the mountain peak and in the valley. And if I'm willing to walk through the valley, I'm going to experience God with his highest blessing. Don't miss it. And Father, how grateful we are that you are so faithful that not one word you've ever said can be changed. You're who you say you are. You do what you say you'll do. And we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Don't leave us where we are. Keep moving us on and upward, being conformed to your likeness in the image of the Son of God, reminding us that we belong to you, we are your servants. And it's not what's in it for us, but what you want to do through us for somebody else. And I pray, Father, today for those who are unsaved. They have no shepherd. They're lost, separated from you by their sins, never having received Jesus Christ and his death at Calvary. Open their eyes at this very moment to see. They're floundering, and help them to see. They will never become the person you want them to be apart from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's my prayer in his name. Amen. If you've never trusted him, listen carefully. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, you have no guide. You say, well, my parents, they can't guide you ultimately. Nobody can guide you where God wants you to go but the Good Shepherd. And I pray that you'll ask him to forgive you of your sins and surrender your life to him.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley, speaker on the In Touch television and radio broadcasts. To order additional copies of this message, or to order CDs or DVDs of other messages by Dr. Stanley, call toll-free in the United States, 1-800-323-3747, or place an order online when you visit our website, intouch.org. If you prefer to write for more information, our mailing address is In Touch, Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. This has been a production of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.